Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest for you today. This one was recommended by my man Raphael Courtright, the Marine, former Marine Raphael Courtright. You know who Raphael Courtright is, right, Crypto?
Yep.
I got a message.
The devil dog. The Marines are devil dogs.
Oh yeah. He's saying that there's this guy that he's been listening to. I should check him out, and he said he would love for me to collaborate with him. And thanks to Raphael Courtright, this is happening. Let me introduce you to my man Big C. What's up, Big C? How you doing, man?
What up? What up? What up? How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Pretty good, man. Doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Another day in paradise.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me on. This dolphin community is awesome, and I appreciate all the help and support that I can get from everybody. And like I said, I dig your content, and you definitely know what you're talking about, and I'm glad that I'm getting the opportunity to work with y'all.
For sure. So anyway, listen, when we come back, we're going to be talking to my man Big C, and then we're going to be talking about the Wild Card Weekend. So sit back, relax. We'll be right back. All right, so here we are. So how long you been in the game of YouTube, doing YouTube?
Man, I started out in July. I'm not real computer savvy, not really. I mean, growing up, we had a computer when I was like 13, 14, but it was like one of those things that it was an expensive item in the house and you didn't really touch it. You know what I mean? It was more for status, I guess. And so I was before the computer age, so I never really got into the technology side of things, you know, but I've always been a Dolphins fan, and, you know, certain people's takes drove me crazy, and I just wanted to voice my opinion, talk to other Dolphins fans. And so I was like, the hell with it. I had some time on my hands, and here I am.
So what give me an example of what some of the takes that drove you crazy.
Just always the nonsense. I mean, I can't even think of something right offhand. Just it seems like people like the bash on the Dolphins. You know what I mean? They just like the bash on our team, no matter if we make a good move, a bad move, you know, we win a game, we didn't win it the right way. Just a bunch of stuff that eventually built up, and I just wanted to, you know, fight back a little bit, stick up for my team, you know what I mean? Give my 2 cents. And that's pretty much where it came from. It's where it started.
It's almost how TD told this story. But it was in the other direction of lash out against the media.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is, the media.
The anti-propaganda that he had to fight against in the Dolphins media that's motivated him to start his channel. Yeah. It's a similar theory of, you know, psychology behind
it. Yeah, it gets annoying to hear these guys, you know what I mean? And you yell at the TV, but nobody hears you know what I mean? And shoot, nobody's really hearing me now. I only got a few subscribers, but I'm working at it. And like, I'm eager to discuss Dolphin football with any and everybody. Yep. And
so you must have you are you familiar with Pete's Take?
No, not Pete's Take. I'm not. I don't think.
Yeah, that's the he's the Alex Jones of the Dolphins community.
Okay.
Would you think that's a fair comparison, Crypto?
Hang on one moment.
All right. So, man, how long have you been a Dolphin fan? You're in the New York area, correct?
I am in the New York area. Most of my fans are, most of my family is Buffalo Bills fans. I got an uncle that's a Jets fan, but. Okay. My mom's a diehard Bills fan. I got a lot of family that lives right out in Hamburg, right in Orchard Park, Angola, right next to the stadium. Like literally a third of my family lives out there, and just diehard Bills fans. And
Well, you're gonna love it here because we have a frequent member. He visits. I'm on two channels, Larry K and the Finn's Tailgate, and this guy visits both channels. He's a Bills fan. His name is Michael K, and he's a Bills fan.
Well, see, I wasn't around my mom and father, or my mom and father, they weren't together growing up, and when I was real young, my dad would have visitations on the weekends, and I remember going on Sundays, I'd go over to my grandmother's house and she'd be cooking out in the kitchen, and my dad'd be watching the Dolphins game. My dad was a diehard Dolphins fan. I don't really know what turned him into a Dolphins fan. He was also from New York. He was born in Alaska, but he was from New York. I don't really know what turned him into a Dolphins fan, but
right.
That's the time I spent with my father's watching Dolphins games and being 4 or 5 years old, jump on the couch next to him, and you know, I didn't really know what was going on, but I fell in love, and I've been rocking with them ever since.
Okay, that's what's up. So, oh man, yeah, I tell you what, it's a grind, man. I've been doing it for 3 years, but it's a fun grind, though. You know what I mean? The one thing I could tell you is Crypto and I have been doing, this is our second year doing Insomnia. This is going to be our second year, our second off season. I don't know, Crypto from Larry L's channel, and okay. We hit it off. You know, we have good chemistry, whatever. But at any rate, this is going to be a second year. And the thing about it is, bro, when me and him were doing Insomnia, because Insomnia encompasses the whole NFL. Felt like the offseason flew by, right, Crypto?
Yeah. It did. Yep.
Yes, but indeed. Hey, real quick, Crypto, I said Pete is like the Alex Jones of the Dolphins community. What do you think of that assessment?
Yeah. Actually, not bad. It is. He definitely is the Alex Jones of the community. Crazy, wild conspiracy theories going off the rails. Yeah,
his conspiracy theory today was that the Dolphins are going to trade are going to trade McDaniel, Chris Greer, and Tua to Tennessee Titans.
Right,
that'd be a hell of a trade. what do we get back in that?
I have no idea. I think the number one overall pick.
That GM would be fired immediately.
What? Woody?
Then he goes, I just got hired. You firing me already? He goes, damn right we are.
You better push accept on that button immediately if they offer that.
So anyway, listen, let's get into these wild card games, and we'll talk more about the Dolphins. One thing I heard online, and I found it was very interesting, that what's funny is they were talking about butterfly effects, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, he goes, can you imagine if the butterfly effect took place week one? It was the Patriots versus Bengals. Had the Patriots lost to the Bengals, Bengals would be in the playoffs, and the Patriots would still have the number one overall pick.
Mm. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And the Patriots will still, yep. Patriots will still have the overall pick, yep. And the Bengals will be in the playoffs, yep.
But, I mean, you can say that about anything.
Yeah, think about it, because those two teams played each other, though. So
it's called the real weapon effect, you know what I mean? Because.
Right. Those two teams affected where they're at. That game is an outcome of what happened, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, what if Tua never made that run against Buffalo week two? And he never got concussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Then the Bengals wouldn't be in the playoffs and the Dolphins would be.
Yeah, it's true. But, hey, I tell you what, Tua getting concussed is something that's kind of like, at this point, it's what if, and not, it's when and not what if.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, look, I like Tua. I think. He's proven, you know, he could play in this league, but at the end of the day, if you only have you've been in the league for 5 years and only have one healthy season, it's kind of not good.
Well, I think I'm more concerned with the hip injury now than the actual concussions, because now you can't even take a tackle. Before it was you had to hit your head. Now you can't take a tackle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now you don't even have just the head to worry about. You just got a regular tackle that can put you out for weeks. And you can't win like that. You can't win with not knowing if your quarterback's going to be available week to week.
All right.
Yeah, but I think that's, to be honest with you, I think that's part of the frustration that Tyreek Hill has, is the fact that the quarterback, you know, at this point, since he's been here, he's probably missed almost a full season if you add up the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, I know Patrick Mahomes missed a few games when Tyreek Hill was there, but still, it wasn't to the level of Tua.
Well, it's at crucial times, too. I mean, it's at the end of the year. He suffered the concussion against Green Bay. We were winning that game against Green Bay. Actually, we were kind of dominating Green Bay until the second half when Tua got concussed and came out and threw those interceptions. We would have definitely probably went farther in the playoffs than what we did. And then, you know, this year, end of the year, he misses the games when the games are the most important. I mean, I don't know. I just know you can't keep hoping and praying. They made a mistake by giving him that contract extension. They did. I like Tua too. I'm not a Tua-non. I'm a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
I think that Tua, if he can stay healthy and they build the team correctly around him with the offensive line, you got to fix the offensive line. You got to get a running game established, which will open up the passing game. Tua can win. I think Tua can win a Super Bowl. But you can't count on him to be there for 17 weeks plus. And that's a problem. And I do think that was part of Tyreek's frustration. I think Tyreek wants to be a Dolphin. I think he loves it in Miami. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful weather, no state sales tax. He's a god down here, the people. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be in Miami? But Tyreek wants to win too. Tyreek wants to be the focal point of the offense.
And well, he wanted that in Kansas City when even, you know what I mean, he wanted to be like, that's the one thing he complained, goes, oh, they weren't using me enough in
Well, he Kansas was jealous City. Of Travis. He was jealous of Travis's targets, and Travis was the main receiver there, and Tyreek was kind of the flashy nice car that you drive on the weekends, while mm-hmm. Travis Kelce was your car you drive every day, you know what I mean? And people were seeing that, and he didn't like it, and he wanted that big bag. But I mean, as far as him getting traded and why not be in Miami, I don't think that's true, but something's got to be done. Something's got to change.
Yeah, for sure. But the first game, let's talk about the first game, the wild card weekend. It's a Saturday. Which, this one's an interesting one. We'll call this one the W game of the week. W energy drink. Click on the link below and you will get 10% off your first order. I like Calio Cream. It's good during the summertime. You add a scoop to an 8-ounce glass of water, so you're not getting any of these chemicals. Very, very refreshing. Like I said, especially during the summertime when I go to mow the lawn. I live in Florida, so you need something that, you know what I mean, it's wonderful. Calio Cream, I recommend. Green Apple Sludge is another one. Tastes just like a Jolly Rancher. And with that being said, I heard a conspiracy theory saying, hey, listen, CJ Stroud, right, can't get away from Harbaugh. Remember, Harbaugh, he is 0-2 against Harbaugh, Michigan. And then Harbaugh won, they said, won the national championship in Houston Texans Stadium. So pretty much he has won a national championship in the Texans Stadium, which where they're going to anyway. And CJ Stroud is 0-2 against Jim Harbaugh, whatever. So this is going to be an interesting game. They're saying that the script writers made it this way, you know, NFL script writers, whatever that is, you know what I mean? It's going to be the Chargers, CJ Stroud taking on his boogeyman, Jim Harbaugh. Chargers going to Texas in the NFC, AFC wild card. Chargers are given 3 points, 42.5 total. Houston is plus 135. With that being said, you're the guest first. Big C, who do you have in this game?
I got to go with the Chargers, man. The Texans have underwhelmed all year. I mean, lots of people had the Texans as their favorite to come out the AFC this year after CJ Stroud's impressive rookie season. The addition of Stephon Diggs, addition of Joe Mixon. I mean, you had Tank Dell, you had Nico Collins. This offense was really supposed to take off and be one of the best offenses in the league. And I don't know if it was a mix of injuries and CJ Stroud maybe taking a step back. They just they've underperformed. And if they weren't in this weak division, the AFC South, there's a good chance they don't make the playoffs. So I think that Jim Harbaugh's done an excellent job over with the Chargers. Justin Herbert has played good ball. Ladd McConkley, he's a beast of a wide receiver, rookie. J.K. Dobbins has done a good job running the ball. Their defense playing lights out. Derwin James, safety, he's a all pro. You got one of the Bosa brothers. Yeah, I like the Chargers in this one. And I say they probably win by 10.
Listen, a lot of the tourneers, the tournons were talking about how Justin Herbert was the king of the fourth quarter interception. Right now, he has 23 touchdowns and only three interceptions. He's been taking care of the football.
He's been fantastic.
Not to mention, listen, I think this is how he would have played under Flores. Flores, it pretty much what Harbaugh is saying is, look, you don't have to be the guy who wins the game, because he had defenses that were ranked 32 in the NFL. So it doesn't matter how many points Justin Herbert was putting up. The defense was allowing, you know, if your defense is allowing more points, you're not going to win the game, point blank.
Well, the thing with Justin Herbert is if he needs to put the game on his back, he has the physical tools to do it. He can run. He's got a rocket right arm. I mean, he has the ability to do it. That's something I don't think Tua has. I don't think Tua has that ability to take over a game, because he lacks the physical gifts of some of the top quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah. So, Crypto, who do you have?
I will say this. It's not in defense necessarily of the setback that people perceive that the Houston Texans took. I said when they had the complementary players at their disposal, they were good enough to still play good defense and Stroud not make mistakes in games that they did one that they had to win, because early in the season they did beat the Buffalo Bills and the defense held Josh Allen to his worst performance all season. That was Houston, Texas defense. Yeah. And then they backed it up again and held Tua to pretty much his worst performance all season. So we can't necessarily just throw them out. Their defense is competitive enough. If only if CJ Stroud don't make the big mistake they are capable of beating anybody because their defense is still solid, because they've held a lot of quarterbacks to bad performances all season, you know. So they, if I recall, I think they was like maybe a little in the middle of the pack as far as total defense. I got to look at their final numbers. But they did held Josh Allen to a historically bad performance in the lowest rating game of his career. That being said, they capable of doing that to the Chargers. You know, they are capable. But I think CJ would have to probably put up 27 or more in this particular game because the way they play, Jim Harbaugh style of offense was bend don't break. It's pretty much the Ravens West, if you think about the approach that the Chargers take. They're basically the West Coast version of the Baltimore Ravens, the way they've been playing this year. Make little mistakes on offense, meaning Justin Herbert not throwing big interceptions late in the game. What happened? Lamar Jackson did the same thing. Low interceptions, low turnovers. So they're pretty much copying what the Baltimore Ravens doing on offense. And that's been the winning formula. And actually, technically, that's a winning formula for the playoffs. That's why this matchup, I think they can beat the Texans defense only because they're not making the bonehead mistakes. Now, once they start making mistakes, the Texans can easily beat them. You know, because they'll have the home crowd behind them. They'll be this, they'll be that. And if they can play good on offense, this will be a tight-knit game. I don't think it'll be a runaway in either direction. I think a field goal does it for the Chargers will be just enough because both defenses are very commendable, and they can force mistakes on the opponent's offense. So that's why I say it'll be a field goal game. When the Chargers eking it out in the fourth quarter. I see a field goal game, all because I respect both defenses. They got a tendency of making the opponents make mistakes and making the game ugly. If not, it can go either way, Shake. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking more of it that it's a defense. This is going to be a defensive match, ball game. Given that C.J. Stroud do not have all of his weapons at his disposal with Tank Dell, and he's got Collins back, but Diggs has been on the shelf pretty much all season since, week two, week three or something like that? So
he's been gone a while.
They haven't been there. But I would say, yeah, they're formidable enough on defense to make it close enough. To make it a one field goal game, and I think they'll do it. It's a harder pick for me than usual because I'm thinking, part of me saying the Texans just might click and then he might get it together in playoff time. Part of me saying it's just gonna be a slugfest, man. This is harder for me to pick because I saw what the Texans defense, how they dismantle our offense, and how they dismantle the Bills offense. And also, that same Texas, I forgot to add another team. They also put Jared Goff at his worst performance. They forced him to 5 interceptions. Even though they lost that game, there was another team offense that they dismantled on defense. It was the Detroit Lions on a Sunday night game. The Houston Texans held Jared Goff to his worst performance of the year, forcing 5 interceptions. So, yeah, that's another one under the defense belt for D'Amico Ryan's defense. So, yeah, if it's some other game, I won't be surprised if Houston win this game. But it'll be tough. It's going to be a slugfest.
I'm gonna go with Chargers. I like the Chargers. I think that I know he probably hasn't seen this version of C.J. Stroud, but I think he knows all everything that C.J. Stroud, you know. So I think the John Harbaugh, if it wasn't for the John Harbaugh effect, I would be picking the Texans, but because of the John Harbaugh effect, I'm going with the Chargers.
I'm picking the Chargers in a slugfest, but like a 17-16 game.
So next game we have, folks. The next game real quick is the Chef Jew special. The Chef Jew special. We all know Chef Jew.
What's up, y'all? This is Chef Jew. Looking for a great chef for your next catering party, private party, office party, etc. With Balkan Watering meals and desserts. Let Chef Jew Catering and Sweet Treats take care of it for you at an affordable price. Call me at 786-804-8096. Also, reach me at chefjewcatering@gmail.com. Direct message on Facebook and Instagram at Chef Jew's Catering. Chef Jew's Catering and Sweet Treats, food with a passion. We do it all.
It is the AFC North matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Ravens. Right now, Mike Tomlin is 21-16 against the Ravens. I would say the Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are the longest tenured coaches in the NFL right now. Who would you say is longer than them?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they playing against each other. Yep. Coaching against each other. Mm-hmm. The longest tenured coach.
So
his brother Jim would be right up there had he not left. He went to Michigan, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah. So
I think he took over San Francisco like the 2011 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right now, this is the Saturday night game. Saturday. By the way, as we're recording, Penn State is beating Notre Dame 10-0 in the second quarter.
Mm.
I just thought I'd put that out there. This is going to be a Saturday game. Wild card. Baltimore is given 9.5 points, 43.5 total. Pittsburgh with plus 360. So if you're room for Pittsburgh, this would be a good game to bet. Go to the Hard Rock app or whatever and put some money on that if you think the Ravens or Steelers are going to win. With that being said, I don't believe in Russell Wilson, so I'm going for the Ravens. What say you, Crypto?
Yeah, I'm going Ravens in this one. The Ravens. Best them out. They take advantage of Pittsburgh slide.
What about you, Big C? What you got?
Man, I gotta go with the Ravens also. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he's had more struggles with Pittsburgh Steelers than anybody. I mean, this is a hard-hitting game. It's got a history of it. I mean, from back when Ray Lewis and Joey Porter and, you know, it's just a hard-hitting game. But Russ Wilson has been off. I think that this defense had people thinking that maybe Russ had more left in the tank than what we thought he did when he was with Denver because they were winning games. But this offense has looked terrible. And I just don't think they can put it off enough points to stay with this high-powered Ravens offense. Flowers is out for the Ravens, though. I mean, that might make a difference. But I got to go with the Ravens.
And who knows? They might sign OBJ back.
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? If they do that, that would be a good old switcheroo.
He was having trouble catching the ball in Miami. Well, in the few opportunities that he got.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough volume to warrant, you know, any true scrutiny, in my opinion. It's just me.
I mean, when you get an opportunity, you got to catch the ball, though. You know what I mean? Whether it's thrown to you once, twice,
even in those even in those opportunities, it wasn't a difference in why we won or lost games.
No, I'm not saying all that.
Yeah.
He's not to blame for a game that we lost or nothing like that.
It's pedestrian. He wasn't even a part of the offense.
No.
Yeah, man. That's why I say bring back DVP, right? Crypto.
No, the last guy I want to bring back.
Hey man, didn't you go to New England to see him, Crypto? You surprised me.
Yeah, I went up there to see the Dolphins.
When did you change your mind?
I didn't. I changed my mind.
Anyway, by the way, this weekend I'm a Broncos fan, just so you know. I wasn't a Bronco fan last weekend, but unfortunately, the Broncos are playing the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo is given 8 points, 47 total. Denver 3+40. So, hey, man, and listen, if you feel like you want Denver to win, I'm not gonna put money on it though. Unfortunately, I think the Bills are gonna freaking win this game. Unfortunately, what do you guys say, Big C?
You know, I thought about this game and last night when I did my show, The Blitz. I had Buffalo marked down like as a sure thing, but I think Denver can surprise people. I think that Denver has a real shot to upset the Buffalo Bills this weekend. If this defense, which this defense has played lights out this year, if they can get under Josh Allen's skin and get him out there scrambling, and Josh Allen has been a turnover machine in his career. He's done a way better job this year, but that's still in him. He can still make those same mistakes. And when he gets flustered, he tries to play hero ball and fit balls in to spaces that he has no business throwing them. The Buffalo Bills don't have a lot of weapons outside of James Cook. If they can control James Cook and limit Josh Allen, they have a chance. Can Bo Nix go on the road and play like he did against the third string players of the Kansas City Chiefs last week? I mean, I doubt that. But if Bo Nix can put together a decent game, Denver's got a real shot.
Yeah.
But I like Buffalo. Unfortunately.
Yeah, your mom will be happy, right?
Yeah, I'm sure she will be.
Do you guys like? Is there trash talking between you two when the play?
There's constant calling and messaging back and forth through my whole family is Bills fans. Literally, besides my cousin Mike, who's a Giants fan, and my uncle, who's a Jets fan, everybody else is a Bills fan, and it's just constant. Any opportunity they get, they'll call, they'll leave messages, emails. I've gotten postage stamps in the mail. I've gotten jerseys in the mail sent to me from my family in Buffalo. Thank you notes saying thanks for another win. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
damn, it's ridiculous. Cool. Yeah, she's bad. My mom will definitely get on my case.
So let me ask you this. Last year, we were the last game, primetime game. I was at that game, by the way.
How were you?
Oh my God, I was surrounded. I felt like I was at a. I was surrounded by Bills fans. But anyway, how was it after that game? Where was it?
I have to turn off my phone and stuff because these Miami Dolphins, I get so angry that I cannot talk to anybody and I can't deal with the nagging. I can't deal with little smart comment. Like I can deal with it later on. You know what I mean? But yeah, initially I got to turn the phone off because I've broken numerous TVs, throwing the remote. I've been live streaming and I've had to turn the computer off because I'm going to get YouTube going to blame. They're going to turn me off. They're going to be like, you can't have a channel. Because I'd be getting into it. I'd be like, man. But yeah, I mean, she definitely gave me the business, but it was the next day because, like I said, she knows by now. Don't call me in the middle. I'm not one. I don't watch football with people. Like, I don't have people over to watch the game. I don't do that. I don't do it because someone's liable to go to jail or probably me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some bad's about to happen.
I understand. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being a little bit overboard. No one's going to jail, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I feel what you mean.
Some things might be said that you can't take back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was like my wife tells me I sound like a bipolar man when I'm watching the games.
Yeah.
Like one minute I'll be screaming yes, the other minute I'm like, fuck, damn it, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
every cuss word that you can say. Make up cuss words.
Yeah, we could curse here. Just don't say any racial slurs. We'll be fine.
Oh, no, never that. Never that.
Anyway, let's talk about the Cooking Folk game of the week.
Did Crypto say who he liked? Crypto, you got the Bills or Denver?
The Ravens. Oh, the Bills or Denver game. That's right. No, I got Bills.
You got the Bills. No, you got Denver, right? When did you change your mind, Crypto?
I never. This is going to be the steamroll game. Josh Allen was going to try to use to get, because it's, you know, he's supposed to be in the MVP conversation, but now Lamar still, my book had a better statistical season. But they're gonna get selective amnesia again. Forgot that it's the playoffs now, not the regular season. He messed up his chance. But I'm gonna say they're gonna win in a semi shootout. It's gonna be close early, then Buffalo pulls away in the second half.
By the way, my Super Bowl is when the Buffalo Bills lose the Super and losing the playoffs. That's my Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If Bo Nix get that first win, his accolades will go through the roof.
Oh, man. I would celebrate like it's 1999.
2000 party over.
Yeah. Oh, man. By the way, shout out to here's the Cooking Folk apron. You know, we got spring comes. Hopefully, it will be coming sooner than later. Get some, you know, this Super Bowl is coming soon. You're out there in the grill and you want to look like in fashion. Get the Cooking Folk apron inspired by our man Lewis. And the Cooking Folk game of the week is the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia's 4-point favorite. I think this is a better game than the last game. I could tell you that. I think this is, who do you got, Big C? I'll let you go first.
I think the Eagles probably take this one. If Jalen Hurts can come back from his concussion, he's been practicing, but he hasn't cleared concussion protocol yet.
Hang on.
The Eagles have been running all over the place. Their defense under Vic Fangio is playing lights out. I want to say the
only Dolphins had a defensive coordinator like Vic Fangio.
Well, what's your feelings on that? There was no tampering, no draft picks sent our way, nothing like that. Yeah. There was no way that there was no tampering involved. That was the biggest robbery of.
Yeah.
It was crazy robbery.
Yeah, we had to give up our first round draft pick for Sean Payton.
Yeah, something that wasn't even probably really happening, you know what I mean? But Vic Fangio actually goes and signs with them like the next day, less than 24 hours later. Like, come on. But yeah, Vic Fangio's got them playing at a top-notch level. Vic Fangio didn't clash with our laid-back culture in Miami neither. I mean, I think that was a big reason he left. But yeah, Saquon Barkley should be in the MVP conversation. He's had a great year. That run game's going to be too much. Plus, Jordan Love's hands injured, and Christian Watson went down with an injury last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's going to be too much. Green Bay's got a good rushing attack with Josh Jacobs, but I think the Eagles are going to be too much.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm going to have to say, we'll have to be, I'm going to have to agree. By the way, just got this headline from Yahoo Sports. The defensive coordinator from the Lions declined the interview request for the Patriots. So,
what kind of culture does Dan Campbell have over there, man? That people are turning down job opportunities to stay with him. That's impressive. And to think we could have had him.
I know.
He was here with us. We could have had him. But last year, his offensive coordinator turned down coaching opportunities. This year, I mean, that's not a bad job, in my opinion. The Patriots job's not a bad job. You got a quarterback. You got a top five pick. You know what I mean? You got an established culture over there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad job. Though, the thing about the Patriots, I think the reason I think the reason they did that is because they already know that Mike Vrabel is going to get the job. So he's like, this is just a fucking farce. So I'd rather not deal with it. Not to mention, I think they did Mayo dirty.
Well, they definitely did. They definitely did drive Mayo dirty.
Different set of standards they have for certain coaches. I would say this about the Eagles. I don't know. I think people are too high on them when it comes to who they ran, the run that they had to get to where they are. Given the fact that Green Bay's defense had forced Hurts when he was there and fully healthy, and to a ton of mistakes in that game that the Eagles scraped by in Brazil with them on. Weather is definitely not a factor because both of them plays in cold weather, anyways.
Well, I forgot they both did play in Brazil.
Right, and the Green Bay's defense is still there to force them to make mistakes, which to me kind of like is the big going to be the difference, because when Green Bay went into Dallas, which had the best home goal, I know it's two different years. But Dallas was 8-0 at home, and they just blitzed everybody. And they gave them a 1-2 haymaker on defense and forced some turnovers. And that game got out of hand fast and early. And then they scored a lot of late, meaningless touchdowns to get to their, 30 points. They still end up losing by 17. But I'm saying that Jones is a lot inferior than Jacobs in the backfield, and Jordan Love's just stopped making mistakes over the last 2.5 months. To me, that's good enough to beat the Eagles.
So you got the Packers?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm taking them in this one.
So you like Green Bay's rushing attack over the Eagles' rushing attack?
No, I think their rushing attack keeps them just as balanced. Because I think the linebackers from Green Bay is good enough to contain Barkley.
However, here's the thing. If Devontae Parker comes out of retirement and plays for the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a wrap.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking everybody's analysis last year is almost identical because of how Dallas was playing going into the playoffs and how Green Bay was playing going into the playoffs last year. And they didn't take the defense in a passing game into account where they can just hold their own. And then they can do a lot of run blitzes and stunting to contain Barkley. You know,
yeah, but it's hard to beat a team when you got to only gain 8 yards for a first down. You know what I mean? You got three opportunities to gain 8 yards, and you know the touch push for the other two.
Yeah, it's the 8-yard offense. Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's hard to get them off the field.
Right. But, I mean, it could be done. It's been done before. But I'm just saying you have to put them in third and long to keep them off, you know, to keep them playing honest football. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, in that sense, yeah. I call it the 8-yard offense because they only need to go technically 8 yards for first down.
And then is Jordan Love's hand okay? Jordan Love hurt his hand yet last week, his throwing hand.
Yeah, he's cleared for practice. He's been cleared the last two practices for full practice. I guess it was a stinger in his wrist, on his his hand. They said it was like not tendonitis, but they said initially it was an elbow injury. Well, I was like, why is he being carted off for an elbow injury? Normally you carted off the field for a leg or lower extremity injury. It's from the hip down. It's normally when you're getting carted off, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, when they said elbow, I was like, well, damn, why are they cutting him off, carting him off the field? Make me think it was his knee, like in the first matchup, he was injured in the first game against
him. Yeah.
It was his knee. It was his lower extremity. Yeah. But I think it's day to day. I think they play Sunday, so that's an extra day for Hurts to recover from his concussion and for Love to recover from his elbow. So, which I think that's going to be key for Philly winning, for Saquon to get off to a good start, because they're going to try to protect Jalen Hurts from throwing the ball a lot because of that concussion. That's going to be key for Green Bay to hone in on the run early.
Does that affect the tush push that he had a concussion recently? Because, you know, he sticks his head in there, you know?
It might. Probably not, because the way they use it, because the way they go about doing it, they reg. Or they might just use a tight end or a Saquon to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Philly doesn't necessarily do it with tight ends or running backs like other teams have done it before.
Yeah.
I've seen the Steelers do it with their tight end. I've seen this.
We've done it with Engel.
Another team did it with a tight end. Yeah. Or we did it with somebody else.
Yeah, we did it with Alec Engel.
Yeah, either though he's a quarterback, because he does it so effective, because he squats like 800 pounds.
Yeah.
So he's very effective with it. So yeah, to protect his head, they might try something different. I could see them doing that. I could see them using Saquon being the guy for the tush push instead of Hurts, because they don't want him to get re-injured, because it's a head injury. So you could be up out of there quickly when you go in that blue tent. So yeah, I could see them changing up a little bit when it comes to the tush push, making Saquon do it. It'd be more like a wildcat, right? I guess technically when the running back's doing it, it's almost like a miniature wildcat, because a wildcat, the running back's catching the ball out of the shotgun versus him being on the center.
Mm.
So it'd be a revised wildcat when Saquon's got it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a wildcat. That'll be interesting. It's going to be a good game. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, you definitely know, a good matchup.
That 1-7 in the NFC is real tough. It's a tough out. You know, Detroit gets to take a break. Minnesota's got to play on the road. It's going to be interesting.
By the way, the Heat is losing to a poverty franchise. How many times is the Heat going to play Utah? Good Lord.
It's a back-to-back.
Yeah. 14, right now, we're losing 15-7. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jazz is going to destroy them again.
They only win because you have Dwayne Wade. We're doing Dwayne Wade a favor. We're letting you win.
That's it. That's it, Shake. It's a Dwayne Wade favor. See, what he failed to tell you there, Big C, the historic, proud franchise of the Jazz, that is the Jazz.
No.
Shake has been slowly converting, trying to come on. He's trying to find a way to get a foot in. So,
yeah, I'm good.
You know, he's easing his way in, Big C.
Oh, so he wants to be a Jazz fan, huh?
No.
Yeah, he wants to be a Jazz fan. It's kind of like he wants to be a Canes fan as well. So, he's kind of slowly taking baby steps.
Get your John Stockton, your Karl Malone on, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I got him a Jeff Hornacek jersey, you know.
Okay.
Greg Ostertag. He said he likes Greg Ostertag.
Who's your basketball team, Big C?
My basketball team, man. Of course, I grew up watching Mike.
Okay.
I loved the Bulls when I was younger, and then baseball. What's that?
You been to the Bulls game before?
I have. I seen the game where Allen Iverson crossed over Mike.
That one? Oh.
Yep.
That's a historic game. Yeah.
I've been to
1998.
I've been to numerous 76ers games with Allen Iverson, Dikembe Mutombo, when the Bulls had Artest and Elton Brand. And,
yep.
But
I like the Elton Brand. He's
on my mean, after Mike retired, the Bulls were terrible, of course. I didn't really like a basketball team or a same with baseball. I grew up watching Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez. Griffey's my all-time favorite baseball player. Mm-hmm. And then I just liked players after that. Like basketball, I gravitated to Kobe. He was the closest thing to Mike. But I wouldn't say I was a Lakers fan. You know what I mean? I'm not a bandwagon person. I appreciated Kobe. You know what I mean?
Right.
And same for basketball. Our baseball, I appreciate certain players, but I'm not a diehard fan. The only team that I'm a diehard fan for is the Miami Dolphins. Unwavered. We could have the worst. We go 0-16 every 0-17 now every year, and that's my squad.
Yeah, yeah.
Players come, players go. 16.
You remember what's the time that? We almost went 0-16?
Yeah, and then Greg Carmelo caught that deep pass against the Ravens. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was the greatest one of the greatest moments in Dolphins history. Think about it.
It is. It stopped.
We would have been the first team in franchise history to have a perfect season and they win this season. Yeah, record I know would never happen. Let alone somebody going perfect, then to follow it up decades later with a winless season.
Yeah,
that would have been dramatic.
Yeah, Miami players
in sports history to go perfect and unperfect.
The Dolphins players come and they go. Like I said, I'm a Dolphins fan. Tua's our quarterback. I support Tua. I think Tua can win a Super Bowl here if we build correctly around him. But I'm not. Everybody else, they can kiss it. I rock with the Fins.
That's what's up.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, I'm not a Canes fan. I'm a Gator, baby. Florida Gators.
Okay, okay.
Don't let him tell you otherwise, Vixie. Otherwise, the Canes, he bleed Canes blood.
So I take it you're a Canes fan?
No, he's a Seminoles fan.
Seminoles? I used to like the Seminoles back when they had Warwick Dunn. Yeah, Peter Warwick. Seminoles used to be my squad a little bit. Yeah. Warwick Dunn, Peter Warwick. Peter Warwick was my favorite.
Peter Warwick, huh?
Peter Ward was my dude. Charlie Ward
was the iconic guy that wants to decide he wanted
went
to
the
basketball.
Knicks. Yeah.
Should have been.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like he wasn't tall enough for football, draft. But he was tall enough for basketball.
28-year-old Chris Winkie, our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Peter Ward done, right?
Yeah, Peter Warwick was my dude. Then he got drafted to the Bengals. Yeah, he was my guy. Yeah, I loved him. Yeah. I love Peter Wart.
So
those are some teams, man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now we have the Fanatics game of the week.
Yeah.
We have the Fanatics game of the week.
New seasons, new gear. Show the world what it means to be a fan in 100% authentic gear. Fanatics, officially licensed everything.
That's their color commentary. He is a member of the Fins tailgate. You'll probably eventually meet him one day. With that being said,
right,
we have the Washington Commandos going to Southwest Florida to take on the Buccaneers. I noticed that that's the trend. There's like two games, like for instance, the Commanders are 12-5 taking on the 10-7 Buccaneers, and then you have a 14-3 Vikings taking on a 10-7. Rams. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then the 11-6 Chargers taking on a 10-7 Texans team. So that's three. There's three games this year that the team with the less the with the worst record is getting the home game.
Yeah.
I think they should do it like basketball. Go by record instead of seeding, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you got there's got to be a award for the division winner, you know what I mean?
Right. Because they have to get rid of all the divisions if they do that. Oh, what yeah. you can do is still give them a guaranteed spot, then reseed them at the end. Like, for example, you still reward them, say all division winners win. You take out the four or the eight slots. But then at the very end, you just reseed them.
Yeah, I mean, I get. That would work.
You just get reseeded. Yeah, you just get all you do is just guarantee your playoff spot.
But if you don't win your division, do you deserve a? If you don't win your division, do you deserve a home playoff game over a team that did win their division? Maybe someone's division was tougher. You know what I mean?
Like for instance, like the Vikings.
Right. That's why they don't do it. That's why they keep it the way it is now. You know.
We all know the AFC North is a tougher division than to say the NFC South.
Right.
Yeah.
It switches year by year, too.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, there's look at the NFC West. NFC West had two teams, the Rams and the Seahawks, go in with a 7-9 record.
Yep.
And host the playoff game. A 7-9 record.
Right. Right.
When, imagine how weak is your team when you're winning the game with a 7-9 record.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
How weak is the whole division class? That means it takes a lot of effort from all four teams for you to get in at that record. That means they all worked hard to be bad.
Wild card game between the Vikings and the
Rams. 7-9. Yeah. That was the Seahawks and you said Cardinals, right?
I think the Buccaneers got healthy at the right. Go ahead, Crypto. Who do you got this one? I'll let you go first.
What's this? This one's the Buccaneers and wait a minute, which game is this we on?
Commanders and Buccaneers.
Commanders, right? All right, we got the. I'm gonna go with the upset and say the Commanders pull it off. Jalen Daniels. Become the second rookie in back-to-back years win his first playoff game. I think they pull it off. They find a way to win a lot of close games. I think that continues. They're real clutch when it comes to close games. So, yeah. They win one in against the Bucks. I'm picking them. 31-28. There you go.
Right. Big C, who you got?
Baker Mayfield's hit or miss. I think I gotta go with Washington too. Jalen's play phenomenal. He's kind of like a young Lamar Jackson. I think he had over 800 yards rushing. Definitely my rookie of the year. Scary Terry's had a great year, 13 touchdowns. He's a undervalued wide receiver. Austin Eckler, and I forget the other back they got, but they got a really strong offense. And Baker's hit or miss. Baker can go off. Yeah. He reminds me a lot of Brett Favre, like a poor man's Brett Favre, just that gunslinger mentality. He can go out and have five touchdown passes or he can have five interceptions. It just depends. Mike Evans is winding down towards the end of his career. He had 1,000 yards receiving again, but he's not elite anymore. Bucky Irving's been great for the Bucks. Their defense has been pretty good. I mean, I think it's a toss up, but I'm going to go with the Commanders.
Yeah, and remember, Dan Quinn was once the head coach of the Falcons, so he's been to Tampa. He used to go to Tampa once a year for a while. So, I'm gonna go to Washington as well. Man, but there's gonna be a chance that, Dave, man, this Baker Mayfield will get his third playoff win. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Baker could throw four touchdowns and they could blow him out. You know what I mean? That's just the thing with Baker. Like last week against the Saints.
Baker is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, definitely. Last week against the Saints, I had picked them to win by 19, and my parlay cost me $17,000 on my parlay, a 17-leg parlay. I had the Bucs winning by 19, I think, because they were giving up 14 points anyway. I was like, screw it. Let me go the 19. And the Saints gave them problems, hella problems. So it just depends on which Bucs team shows up.
So finally, we got one more game. Finn's tailgate of the week. By the way, the feature item this week is get the Shake Money coffee cup. We got coffee mugs. I got another one right here. I also have a color. It's around here somewhere. But anyway, we have different cups. Coming soon, the Insomnia Currency Connection coffee mug. Also we're working on a Currency Connection Insomnia Vice City shirt. We already have one, or a Vice City shirt, this one right here. Where is it? It comes in different colors. This is us at the Dolphins tailgate. That's me and Crypto at the bottom left, bottom top with Lewis. And so click on the link. It'll take you right there, man. We have shirts, hats, and all the good stuff. So hit us up. And, of course, the last game. And by the way, my prayers and thoughts are out to the people who, anybody who passed away in this. It was a crazy fire.
I think it's like 15 people or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Man, make it to 2025, and this is how we're kicking it off, you know? So the game has been moved. We have the Minnesota Vikings. By the way, I saw this meme, and it was funny.
It was Monday. What game was Monday originally? So it's two Monday night games now?
Vikings week one.
Yeah,
Gilbert.
So we'll see. So was it originally the Vikings though supposed to play on Monday, or they got two Monday night games? A lot of people say,
probably, yeah. Because I think, yeah, I think
that means it'll be two Monday night games then.
Yeah, I think they. Yeah, no, it was just moved to Arizona. I think they were supposed to play Monday night.
Still the same play.
Yeah.
They were supposed to play Arizona Monday night. Oh, he's moved the location. Okay.
Minnesota is given 2.5 points. And by the way, so with that being said, I got the Vikings. I got Gilbert.
All right. Oh. I'm going to go Rams.
You got the upset?
Yeah.
Big C, yep. Who you got?
I'm taking the Rams, too. I was unimpressed by the Vikings last week against Detroit's defense. Detroit's defense isn't as good as it should be because of all the injuries. And this Rams offense got a lot of firepower. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Kerryon Williams, running back. Matthew Stafford knows how to get the job done. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And then you got a couple rookies on the Rams side getting after the quarterback and Jared Verse, and the other guy's slipping my mind right now, but Sam Darnold's going to Sam Darnold, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. He is who he is, in my opinion. He had a great year, but he kind of did it last week, and they couldn't put no touchdowns on the board, and
kind of like
it's time to put the
And remember, I said last week, I said he's going to turn into a pumpkin.
Yep, he's a jet. He's got that. You're going to see them ghosts again. You're going to start seeing them ghosts again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a former jet, so any former jets can.
You know what I mean? Shit. Son of a bitch.
I got the Rams.
All right. So that was it, man. So, oh man, I was gonna say, this is a funny thing right here.
Yeah.
The thing, man, they're in the playoffs now, and we're not.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough. It's hard to make the playoffs when your quarterback misses 6 to 7 games. You know what I mean? It's hard. Especially when you don't have a competent backup. And like I had told CB83, like he keeps saying that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel have to bring in a competent backup. But with our fan base so split on Tua, that if you bring in a backup quarterback that can go out there and win games when Tua's not available, as soon as Tua makes a mistake, the fan base is going to be calling for the backup. And they don't.
Well, we've seen that with Matt Moore and Tannehill, remember?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be even worse with – there's way more Tua haters than there were Tannehill haters. So I just feel like every time that Tua doesn't
I think they're about come out the
gate and throw a touchdown in the first quarter that – they're calling for the backup, and they don't want a quarterback controversy like that. They don't want someone bringing up their downfalls as a general manager, as a coach, by keeping Tua around. And so we're going to have to deal with the mediocre backup quarterbacks, and we're going to have to try to rally around probably Snoop Huntley again. They're going to bring him back probably. And they're going to say that they brought him back because he was capable. Look what he did against the Cleveland Browns. But then we've seen how he performed last week against the Jets. And I don't know if Snoop's the right answer. I'd like maybe Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones could be a good backup for us. He's an accurate quarterback. He's athletic. I think if he learns the system, he could win us a game against the bad teams that we lost this year with Skyler.
One of the quarterbacks I'm rooting for is Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones could do everything that he could do as far as timing and accuracy as well. I think that pretty much anything that, and not to mention he has a chemistry with Jalen Waddle, so you don't have to worry about him dropping anything.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I think Mac Jones, and he's not going to demand that much money.
Well, we made a mistake by not. You remember when Bryce Young got benched over for the Panthers?
Uh-huh.
He came back and played well.
Yes, we should have made the trade when they benched him and they were acting like they were going to be done with him. We should have called over because he is Tua. He is Tua. He's an undersized quarterback that is very accurate, that can throw the open spots, and he can lead receiver. He is Tua exactly without the injuries. Mm-hmm. We should have traded for him.
Yeah, Yeah, that would have been the time to do it.
And nobody would have been calling for Bryce like that. And even if they were, he is Tua, so we got our quarterback regardless. You know what I mean? That would have been the perfect opportunity. They dropped the ball on that. Just like they dropped the ball a year or two ago by not trading for Saquon Barkley when Barkley was available. Barkley was available for a fifth-round pick, and we didn't go and grab him.
Yeah, it was like, no, he's injured. He's washed up. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, look at him now.
No, they used to getting injured players, so I don't know why they use that as an excuse.
Listen, if I could write a
injured players, right?
Yeah.
Listen, if I could write a book on the Dolphins dropping the ball, it'll look like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Volume one.
That's what it'll look like.
Woulda, coulda, and shoulda, you know.
Yeah, especially not drafting. Listen, one of the ones is not drafting Randy Moss with Dan Marino. Can you imagine Randy Moss and Dan Marino?
Yeah, I mean, there's been numerous things we drafted Charles Harris over
TJ Watt.
We drafted Iggy over Jonathan Taylor was on the board still. Like, just
you drafted that cornerback instead of the quarterback for the Falcons.
With Matt Ryan?
Yeah, Matt Ryan.
Well, we took Jake Long in that draft.
Oh yeah, Jake Long. We got Jake Long instead of Matt Ryan. Yeah.
I mean, at least he was all pro for 5 years before. I mean, his knees gave out at least, you know what I mean? But there's been so many bad draft picks, so many reaches. It's sickening. Oh, it's sickening to think about what we could have had.
We could have had Mike Tomlin instead of freaking Joe Philbin.
Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper. I mean, like,
we could have had Don Shula instead of Chuck Rowe. Oh, my bad. We did have Don Shula.
I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Don Shula.
Like that song, on and on and on.
Who's your favorite Finn of all time?
Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me see.
Brian Cox, huh?
Brian Cox, number 51, giving the birdie to the Bills fans, baby.
Hey, number 51 has I'll look it up some other time. But 51 also was a former Florida Gator, Mike Pouncey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And his son, Brian Cox Jr., went to Florida, so.
Yeah.
That's even better. But then he went to Buffalo, which kind of sucked for a little bit. But he plays in Canada now.
Yeah. Then Brian Cox Sr. went to Buffalo for a while, too. No, he went to the Jets.
No, he went to every divisional team except for the Buffalo Bills. He went to the Jets, and he went to the Patriots. He won a championship with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first one, right? He won the first one with them?
I think so. No, the second or third one. I can't remember which one. I know Patrick. I know Terrell Buckley won one. Terrell Buckley.
Who's T-Buck, the other one? He was one of my favorites. T-Buck.
He got drafted with Zach Thomas. They called him Fred and Barney.
Zach Thomas.
I know Zach Thomas.
Jason Taylor. Or no, Larry Izzo.
Larry Izzo. There he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Barney. Yeah. And Zach Thomas was Fred.
See, I know my fins, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Larry Izzo.
Yeah, Larry Izzo. They called him Fred and Barney. They were roommates when they were rookies.
Did you know that lady that's on ESPN, Joy Taylor's, Jason Taylor's sister?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know Joy Taylor from when she was work. She graduated from Barry. I used to work at Barry University. Okay. And so I used to have a radio station at Barry University at WBRY, and she was one of the people. She graduated from Barry University. As a matter of fact, when she graduated, I saw her brother, Jason Taylor, at the graduation. I really didn't speak up to him because he wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I left him alone because he was there for family. So, you know, I didn't really fuck with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did meet Zach Thomas at a Buffalo, at a watch party. So it is awesome. But anyway, man, listen, Big C, I appreciate you for coming up here, man. I'm going to put the link to your channel in the descriptions below. Hopefully we could get together on Smoke Lounge and we could talk about more Dolphin stuff, more Dolphin-centric stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So any final thoughts, my brother? And once again, I thank you. I thank Raphael Courtright for making this happen, and I thank you for coming on. Shout out to Big Raph.
I just want to say thank you to you guys. I greatly appreciate it. I'm just trying to grow. Thanks, Raphael. Thanks to all the fans out there. Give me a shot. Check out the Fin Posse podcast. We appreciate
you coming by.
The Fin Posse podcast on YouTube. You know, I'm new to this. I'm continuing to learn and going to continue to get better. One thing with me is I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I want to hear how you guys feel. And I'm not going to lie to you just to get a view. I'm just going to, you know what I mean? I'm just speaking as a Fin fan.
Hey, what's up, man?
And if you respect it, I'm the guy for you. But thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. Much love. I can't wait to do this again. And
Have
a great night, y'all.
All right, man.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you coming by, man.
Thank you so much.
Crypto, anything you want to add to it before we close this up?
I will. Another good episode of the Wild Card Weekend playoff edition of Insomnia. Mm-hmm. And pretty much enjoyed making the picks, seeing all the wild, crazy stuff that could happen this weekend. A lot of good competitive matchups, fairly evenly matched teams. You know, even in the ones that look like it'll be lopsided, might not be lopsided. So that's what the playoffs are. It's one and done, you know. It's not best out of three, best out of seven, or best out of five. It's best out of one. Because all it takes is you have one bad game, you know, you can be upset.
No doubt.
But, you know, because if that team played another 9 or 10 times in a row, that other team might actually beat you 9 out of 10. But yeah, all they need to do is beat you just once. It's best out of one. That's one thing that's good about the NFL playoffs.
So after this, man, we have 7 months without football. So enjoy it.
7 months without. We get to fight each other all over again in the offseason, right?
Yeah. Yep. And this is what I predict. I predict that everybody's going to say we're going to draft a quarterback at number one, and everybody's going to be pissed off when we don't get one. So be prepared for everybody to mock a quarterback to the Dolphins when it's not going to happen.
I'm mocking 7 quarterbacks to the Dolphins.
And a punter.
And a punter. Yep.
Don't forget the long snapper, too.
Yep.
So, you can do 7. Punter. You can do 7. You can do 7 quarterbacks because we got 10. So we'll get 7 quarterbacks, a punter, a long snapper, and another quarterback. So there you go.
And you remember Pete did a mock draft. He had 7 quarterbacks last year, and they gave him an A+ on its mock draft.
So, fins up, everybody. We out this bitch.